I'm Jeannie Yandel, and you're with The Record on KUOW. And now we're going to hear about what it takes to make a dream a reality. From Suzanne Gwynn, she's been a nurse for 33 years, working mostly with children here in Seattle. And Gwynn says hospitals do a great job at providing medicine and treatment. But for terminally ill kids, there comes a time when medicine can no longer help. And for a long time, Gwynn had an idea to make end-of-life care for kids better. A hospice, just for them and their families. Gwynn called it Ladybug House. But it wasn't until a few years ago that something happened to push Suzanne Gwynn into action, caring for a little boy with leukemia named Junior.
They would come to the hospital all together, and they would stay at the hospital until 12, 1, 2 in the morning walking the halls, because it's okay to walk the halls. It's not okay for the families to sleep at the hospital. Then when they would get so tired, they would go to Ronald McDonald House, but they would return about 7 in the morning because now it's visiting hours. Then they would all go to sleep and wake up at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So that was his morning time now. So his insulin and all of his morning medications were given at 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon. And it wasn't actually until after his passing and talking about it that I realized, I'm like, God, they used to stay up so late and they used to come so early. And I realized they wanted to spend as little time away that they could. They wanted to be a family together. When they would come back in the evening, you know, in the afternoon, mom would bring meals and she would cook and she would bring it and sit there. Well, 3 years ago, Father's Day, I swear it was a strike of midnight, the stroke of midnight. And just as I gave him his bone marrow transplant, I was also there the minute he died. And through some miracle, the supervisor allowed us to go, my coworker and I, to go to Harborview, and we picked up a travel permit for him, because his parents did not want to be in the hospital any longer. And we bathed his body. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, we put him on a gurney and took him to the loading dock and put him in the back of his truck. And we laid him on his brother's and his sister's lap. And his parents drove him back to Yakima.
How did that help you understand that things could have been very different from them if a place like Ladybug House existed?
Mm-hmm. If Ladybug House had existed, he was still going to die. But that sense of this family always wanting to be together, that sense of taking care of their child, at Ladybug House, it would be a place where they would all be in a family suite together, where we would have that interlocking bed and make that family bed, where they could all be in the room and all cuddle. And then that sense of ritual could be there where their mom and this family could help take care of him. There would be no sense of urgency to leave because this would be their home away from home. And when they were ready, and with dignity, not in the backseat of a truck, not that that was wrong because the parents and family did it with love, but because they had no other choice, that was the only way they could do it. When Ladybug House exists, families will no longer have to do that.
How long have you talked about a place like this needing to exist? How long have you been having these conversations?
A little over 20 years now.
But you didn't start acting until 3.5 years ago, I think. I guess what took you so long to go from thinking this is necessary to I'm the one who needs to do this?
Because it's so big. It's so big. It's like somebody out there should do this. So, you know, every time I'd meet, you know, a lawyer, an attorney, or a parent would come in, or a relative, you know, that I thought, oh, they have a really big boat on Lake Union. Maybe they have the money to build a house, you know, or, oh, they're really connected with government, or, oh, you know, you would say like, hey, somebody should build a house. Hey, these families need a place to be. Hey, we need something a little cozier. Hey, they deserve something better than the nurse trying to get the security guard to open the kitchen during the middle of the night to get them something to eat. And so, you know, after telling all of these people, you just realize, like, this isn't going to happen unless I do it. So I went to SCORE, the Seattle Business Association, and took a class on how to start a nonprofit. And I got Nonprofit for Dummies and for my daughter for Christmas. And I started going to a bunch of workshops, and I talked to people for a year. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? How do you do this? What do you do? And it really was, you just start. But it's, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? And, you know, I think in the last 18 months, I'm not speaking for Suzanne and I'm not speaking for Ladybug House. I'm speaking for all of those kids that I took care of who would have used it, the ones who could use it now, and the ones in the future who will, because this is not going away. You know, unfortunately and sadly, children are dying and they will die every day. What we can do is make that death in that perception of death and the reality just a little bit better.
You said that you finally got to the point where you were saying, if not me, who?
Mm-hmm.
What brought you to that point?
I think Junior had a big thing to do with it. The boy, putting him on that gurney. I loved him a lot. I've loved a lot of these kids. You know, we had a boy who was a hemophiliac and he needed a heart transplant. And when you're hemophiliac, you're not getting a heart transplant. And he was 20, so we had him on a drip that kept his heart pumping for him. And he tried to go home and ended up back in the hospital because a pump stopped one time and scared his family to death. So after about 8 months of living in a room by himself with his family visiting when they could, he decided to shut the pump off. And, you know, it wasn't that he wouldn't have died. He was still going to die. But maybe instead of his uncle playing, you know, his band, mariachi band, playing at his funeral, maybe it could have played in the backyard of Ladybug House. Maybe it would have happened 6 or 8 months later. Or maybe it would have happened at the same time. But his brothers could have spent the night. His aunts and uncles could have had barbecues in the yard. You know, they could have all slept over and been together there.
You carry the stories of these families with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's clear. It's not easy for me to hear some of those stories,
mm-hmm.
but I can't imagine what it would be like to have to call them up and tell them again when you're trying to build a case for why a place like Ladybug House is necessary. What is it like to have to tell these stories again and again? You are talking about a thing people do not want to talk about.
Thank you for recognizing that. I tell people because people say, tell a story, but they're really not a story, they're a memory. So I do have to go inside myself. And I have to take myself back to that place and that moment. And just like with Junior when he was 5 and had the remote control car zooming up and down the hospital hallways, and his mother would bring me tamales in, and his dad's nickname for me was Lazy. And I'm like, oh my God, do not say that. But it was a joke because I used to bust my butt with his son who was so sick. And so they would get to the hospital and the first thing would is like, is Lazy working? I'm like, oh my God, don't do that. It's like so, you know, and it's hard. You go in there and I go back almost 30 years with those kids who live in my heart.
What kind of response do you get when you talk to people mm-hmm. about this?
Most people shut down, or it's just too sad, or can you make it less sad? So, you know, going out there and asking for support is really hard. Sometimes I feel like I need to like take a drum and stand outside the mall like everybody else and start banging and saying, like, I understand there are amazing nonprofits out there. There are. We have food banks and shelters and sex trade and abuse and so many things are in need of funding. But this isn't another one of something. This is something that doesn't exist. We don't have one. Not one. We have two in the entire country. We don't even have a hospice policy for kids in our country. So here, you know, when you're talking to people and it's just too sad, can you change the words? Can you not tell that story? I have to. How can I not tell that story? Could you please listen? Could you hear me? Could you hear my voice? Because tomorrow when you go to the doctor because you think your child's growing pains is just a shin splint, it could be bone cancer. You know, it could be leukemia. It could be heart disease. It could be diabetes. It could be so many things. Tomorrow, this could be your world. And if this were your child or your grandchild or your niece or your nephew, and you were going through this, you would want something like Ladybug House to exist.
Suzanne Gwynn is the founder of Ladybug House. She's still looking for land and funding to make Ladybug House a reality.